Let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm starting with the 10th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with the 10th verse. If you don't have, I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have that, that's all right. There's a lot of good versions, but we'll have it up air on the screen in a minute so that you can read with us word for word. Ephesians chapter 10, or Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? It's God's armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the helmet of salvation, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to talk to you today about the power in the Word of God, and I want to teach you how to use the Word of God effectively in your life. Somebody would raise their Bible up and say, and I've probably said it before, I know probably you've said it before, but said, you know what, this is the sword of the Spirit. Wait, don't say amen to this, because this isn't the sword of the Spirit. This is a wonderful book. This is our Bible, but I'm going to teach you what the sword of the Spirit is. And that book is not the sword of the Spirit. Now, before you get upset with me and think that I'm preaching false doctrine, I'll prove it to you in the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority. I've told you I have nothing really good to say except that I show you it in the Word of God. Does that make sense? I guarantee you I'm not going to tell you my opinion today, because my opinion is like your opinion. It really doesn't make any difference. Can you say amen to that? Pastor, my opinion can't. No. I'm not saying that we don't love you. I'm just saying that we come up with our own ideas, and the Bible tells us to lean not unto our own understanding. How many have ever had a good idea? You thought you had a good idea. Hello? I thought I had a good idea. Pastor, I was going to save the church some money. How many know I like to save the church some money? And so we had two big trees that we had to chop down. And so, you know what? I went across the street. They were chopping a bunch of trees down. I went over there and I got a 5-minute lesson how to chop a tree down. And that lesson was free. So I thought, well, I could chop a tree down. So they showed me how to make the kind of the V, and then you can guarantee it that it's going to land a certain way. And the tree was right there. We have this on film. We won't show it to you today. And then I had Josh, you know, my, you know, mucho intelligence, my smartness thought, I'm going to make sure it doesn't crash into the South Sanctuary. And so I'm going to tie a rope to one of the branches, and I'm going to have Josh, when we chop the tree down, I'm going to Josh over there, make sure that he pulls it this way. And so Josh was there, and sure enough, I was there with the with the saw, and we sawed it down, and Josh was pulling as hard as he could. Well, when that tree fell, Josh was like a little twig as far as trying to control that tree. And thank God it did not fall in the South Sanctuary. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. But here's the deal. It fell way closer to the South Sanctuary than I intended it to fall. Hello? How many know that $400 that we saved didn't seem like very much money as that tree started to fall closer to the South Sanctuary than I wanted it to? I was like, oh man, I need to listen to my wife more often. She told me it was a bad idea. No, we're going to save some money. And that's 400 times two. Hallelujah. See, I don't have anything really to tell you that is substantial, but that it comes from the Word of God. But here's what I'm telling you, what today you're going to learn the Word of God, and it will be substantial because the Word of God will change your life forever in a good way. Amen. How many of your lives have already been changed through the power of the preaching of the Word of God? Amen. So we thank God for that. I'm going to talk to you about the sword of the Spirit, and I want to show you in the Word of God what it is. Some people think that this is the sword of the Spirit, and this is what is going to get them over in their life. They think wrongly. This is a book, and yes, it's my Bible, but it is just being on a shelf. This has no power, and it's not the sword of the Spirit. If this did somebody some good, then my dog would be a very supernatural dog. Amen? When I left this, my wife has, in our house, we have several beautiful places that I can go and study the Word of God, and it's very relaxing. And so I was out there studying the Word of God one day, and I left my Bible outside. Well, one of my many dogs, Ryder, came, and he felt like eating the Word. And so he ate a bunch of my Old Testament, but he wasn't changed at all. There was no revelation knowledge that he got from eating the Word of God. And here's why. Because this, if it remains here, is just a book on the shelf. It's not the sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of the Spirit. Revelation, I'll prove it to you. Revelation chapter 19. And look at verse 15. Again, we have it up on the screen for you. Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 15. Now, out of his mouth goes a what? A sharp sword. What is that? That's a sword of the Spirit. And it's coming out of Christ's mouth, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the mighty God. I just have this scripture because I want you to understand. The word, when Jesus is coming and when he is bringing judgment to the nations, it's the sword coming out of his mouth. Somebody say, out of his mouth. This, again, is not the sword of the Spirit. This is a book, an awesome book. But that is simply an awesome book on the shelf that is not going to do you any good if it stays on the shelf. John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus says something really, really interesting here, and it goes in line with proving what I just taught you, what I just showed you, that sword of the Spirit is coming out of his mouth, and out of his mouth he's judging the nations, but watch this, but he's judging the nations with the sword that's coming out of his mouth. This is going to be significant. Watch this. He who rejects me and does not receive my what? Does not receive my what? Come on, everybody. Does not receive my what? Words. Does not receive my words. Watch this. Has which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. Jesus here is prophetically saying what I showed you in Revelation, that the word of God coming out of his mouth is what's going to judge. We think, you know what? Well, I hope, you know what? When I get to heaven, I hope, and this is what most people think. Most people in the world, they think this. First of all, many people in the world don't even believe that God is real. They don't even believe that God's real. And who is the one who's going to tell him that God is real? You are to tell them. They're all around you. When I was growing up, we used to sing a great song. And at the end of the song, the last line of the song was, you know what? I'm going to tell you how come I know he lives. He lives because he lives in my heart. Listen to me. You might not be a theologian. You might not know a lot about the Word of God. You might only been coming here for 2 months or 2 days. But let me tell you what you know. You know that Jesus has changed your life inside. And that is enough for you to testify to somebody around you and say, hey, I might not know everything. I might not know even a lot. But here's what I know. What was that song in the 60s? You know what? About, you know what? I might not know history. Don't know much geology. Come on, you know this song? But what did he know? He knew that he was in love with his girlfriend. Amen? I'm going to tell you what I know. Here's what I know. I know I'm in love with God, and I know God's in love with me, and there's people around me, and all I got to do is share with them. I tell you what, you can argue all you want of God's non-existence, but I'm telling you what I know. I know he's alive because he lives inside of my heart. That's what I know. Amen. Somebody can say amen to this. And those people are all around you, and you need to preach to them, and you might not know everything, but let me tell you what, if you've been coming to this church for any period of time, you know a lot, actually. That's the truth. And you can share with them your testimony. But Jesus says, wait, guys, you think I'm judging you? No, 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 no. The Word judges you. The Word judges you. That's what's coming out of his mouth. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's coming out of his mouth. It's not, and let me tell you what it's not. It's not, do I have more good than bad? Oh, I hope I have more good than bad. The people who still believe that God exists and that there's a heaven and a hell, even most of them, don't understand, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Trying to be better and gooder and not bad. How many know you can always find out somebody worse than you? Tony, can you find somebody worse than you? I think we can, amen? Are you running a close second to them? No. And so that's what we do. No, 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 no. It's not about finding somebody worse than us. It's about recognizing that our righteousness is but filthy rags. The problem with the world is they think they're okay. The problem with the world is they think they're okay. And nobody's okay without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's going to judge them? The Word's going to judge them. The Word's going to judge them. But I want you to see that Jesus says this, and then I showed you prophetically, that's what's coming out of his mouth. It's not a book on a shelf. It's the Word of God that comes out of his mouth. That's where the power is. And that's the power, that's when Paul is writing and saying, take the Word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying, take your Bible, put it over your head. You know what? And find a demon and just whack him with it. Right? There was an old evangelist and he was studying. And he sensed the presence of the demonic so real in his life that he took his, it was old school, he took his... He had it that his thing that he was writing with wasn't a pen, but it's one of those feathers with the ink thing that they do. And he took that ink thing and he threw it against that wall. And that stain was for many, many, many years proof of what he believed was such a reality of the demonic. Listen, Satan is real, folks. And God doesn't want us to take our Bible and to try to whack Satan with it. Not to say you're Satan, but it's not what he wants us to do. That's not the sword of the Spirit. That's not what's going to get the job done. What's going to get the job done is you taking the Word of God. David said, I've hidden God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's putting the Word of God in your life and getting it in there so much that you'll be able to speak it out of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, whose shield is it that God wants you to put on? Whose breastplate is it that he wants you to put on? Whose shoes is it that we want you to put on? Do you understand? These are his, it's the armor of God. These are his pieces. And he wants you to speak his words coming out of your mouth. And his words coming out of your mouth are sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty for the tearing down of strongholds. Some of you have strongholds in your family. Some have strongholds in your life. And you're so busy repeating what is. God doesn't call the things that is as though it is. Jesus doesn't get up and go, oh my goodness, it is dark in this place. He doesn't do that. He sees the darkness and he speaks life. Amen. Is that not what he did to you? Did he not see your, your stuff? Aren't you glad that God speaks life over you? And what are your calling? Your calling, the Bible says you're called to be an imitator of God. What are you called to do? You're called to do the same thing, to call the things that are not as though it were. Were what? Were what you see God say it were. Amen. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of something seen or not seen. Not seen. See, we are called to make a difference in people's lives. We are called to make a difference in our family. We're called to make a difference in our jobs. We're not called to see what is and go, oh man. I mean, at Albertsons for 25 years, you know what I saw? I saw people just seeing what is and saying, oh man, it is. And the problem is sometimes we let their bad behavior affect us. And all we do is call the things that is as though it is. And guess what you get when you call the things that is? Good to see you, my brother. Guess what it is? Nice jersey, my brother. Man, they played good yesterday, did they not? The Trojans better look out, huh? Fresno say, okay, whatever. Our calling is to call the things, what is. If all you do is call the things that is as it is, what you know what you get? More is. Oh, man, I don't like you. Exactly. It is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah, well, you were called to un-is it. Right? That's what you were called to do. That's what you're here for. Not to add on to the bricks of the stronghold in your life. And then what do? Then you continue. Can I say this? Complaining is one of the most demonic things in the world. Death and life is the power of our tongue. And it's so critical that you make up your mind. Whose armor is it? It's his armor. So take the armor of God and start to take the sword of the Spirit and start to speak his words out of your mouth. His words out of your mouth. Say his words out of my mouth.
Well, Pastor, I don't know very much word. Well, whose fault is that?
Oh, listen, I'll study the Word of God with you tomorrow. What time? I'll study the Word of God with you tomorrow. What time? I'll study the Word of God with you tomorrow. What time?
But Pastor, I can't be there, Ken. I got to work.
There's this thing that they invented. It's amazing. It's called the internet. And you can record stuff on it. And when you get home, guess what? Your pastor wants to sit down and read a chapter with you. Amen. If the only verses you know is this one, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You're going to be, I'm telling you what, with that one you want, you can chop and slice and dice. Amen? Amen? Are you learning something? Remember when, remember in Acts, Jesus prophetically says, don't leave here. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a baptism, not by water, but of the Holy Spirit. And all those, somebody say all those, all those in the house spoke with tongues. How many used to be Catholic? How many, raise your hand if you used to be Catholic. Raise your hand real high if you used to be Catholic. Mary spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. How do you know that? Because the Bible says that she was there and all those, you know what? That fire went on each one of them. Mary was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And spoke with other tongues, the Bible says. And then these guys are like, oh my goodness, what is your problem? They're like, what's going on here? How in the world are we hearing the praises of God in our own language? There was all kinds of, Jerusalem was kind of a melting pot, and they had all kinds of people, you know what, from different places there, and they all heard the praises of God in their language. They knew something was supernaturally going on. And then some wisecracker, how many know, there's always a wisecracker in the room. Come on, help me preach this, somebody. Listen to me. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be a wisecracker, okay? What is a wisecracker? A wisecracker is some joker who is going to give a stupid reason why when you're seeing the supernatural, it's not real. Here's the problem. Can I preach this to somebody over here? Here's the problem that that wisecracker, boy, that's a funny word, huh? That wisecracker, there's a wisecracker. That wisecracker mentality is coming to the church. And we think we're wise when we don't believe in the supernatural. And then we have pastors who are going to tell us why the power of the Holy Spirit isn't for us today. And the Bible says prophetically, he says, these are not only to you, but these are to your sons and your daughters. This is to generations that you would walk in the supernatural. But some wise quacker is going to get up there and say, I tell you what, these guys are just drunk. Oh yeah, that always happens to me when I get drunk. When I get drunk, all of a sudden I'm able to speak 8 different languages. Amen. Does that happen to you when you get drunk? Pastor, you're just trying to see if I get drunk, aren't you? I know you. I know what you're doing. They caught me, Pastor George. Here's the reality. The reality is, then Peter. Somebody say, then Peter. Somebody say, then Peter. And Peter gets up. This is the same Peter who denied Jesus over and over and over and over again. Understand this. Oh, 3 overs. Over and over and over again. That Peter. And you need to understand that at that point in time, the heat on the church wasn't getting less. It was cranking up. The fear that he had that was real, that they might kill him, was just as real. But Peter stood up. And what happened? Here's what happened. The sword of the Spirit came out. The sword of the Spirit came out. Can I show it to you? Let me show it to you. Acts chapter 2. And start with, let's start with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound. Can I read some scripture to you today? I say, can I read some scripture to you today? Can you engage in the scripture? Okay. Can you not start thinking about carne asada yet? I'm just asking because I'm going to read some scripture. Amen. All right, I'm just asking. Are y'all with me? Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven and a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as a fire and sat on what? Each one of them. That's all of them. And they were all filled. Oh, see? I preached the truth. Mary was filled. How do I know that? Because the Bible said, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. And when they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not those who speak Galileans? What's going on here? Now, how is it that each one in our own language in which we are born? Skip down to verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full with new wine. They're just drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all the dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third. Since it is only the third hour of the day. I find that funny. Like, maybe we would be drunk later on, but now we're not. It's too early. You're so ridiculous. It's too early. But then watch this. Verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. What's going on? Now, the sword is coming out. The sword is coming out. Watch this. And it shall come to pass. What's he doing? Now he's quoting the word. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the word is never going to pass away. What in the world created the heavens and the earth? The words of God. What created mankind? Adam and Eve and forevermore, the word of God. What separated the seas, the Red Sea, and caused the Israelites to be able to walk through? The word of God. What caused David to be able to go with wisdom and strength and defeat Goliath? The word of God. What caused, you know what, all the prophets in the Old Testament to walk in the supernatural, to stop the sun, to cause rain to stop, and then cause it to come again? The word of God. What raised Lazarus from the dead? The word of God. The words of God. What caused the man who couldn't see to be able to see? The word of God. What caused the supernatural, every sickness and disease known to God, from blindness to deafness to leprosy? What caused all those people to be healed? The word of God. And what raised you up from your crazy life? The life of death and misery and destruction and oh me and oh my. Who's the Igor? Eeyore? What caused you to get out of your Eeyore mentality into a life filled with hope and joy? It was the word of God. And what raised Jesus from the dead and caused you and I to be able to be in the family of God? The words of God. And it shall come to pass that in the last days, says God. Who's speaking this? Yeah, good answer. You don't know how to answer. Should I say Peter? Should I say Joel? Should I say God? I don't know what to say. That's a good thing you don't know what to say. Who was it? It was Peter. Who was it? It was the prophet Joel. Amen. Who was it? It was Jesus. And it shall come to pass in the days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and on my menservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord are you catching this? Shall be saved. Flip on over to verse 25. What's he going to do? He's going to take out the sword again. And David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is at my right hand, that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoices and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall also rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades. These people that are listening to this or recognizing there's hope in Jesus Christ, that none of us have to go to hell. God will not leave our soul in Hades. Out of his mouth. Are you catching this? See, Peter's not saying, well, they didn't have a Bible like this, but they had scrolls. He's not lifting up these scrolls and saying, you know what you ought to do? You ought to start to believe God, man, you bunch of heathens, not going to church, smoking dope and all that stuff. I don't care if it is legal. You still know it's wrong. He's not doing that. I said he's not doing that. He's not doing that. See, we'd be so much better to show people, declare to him what God is. Amen? That's what he's doing. Now watch this. Go down to verse 37. Watch this. Now when they heard this, what happened? What happened? Come on, look at it. The answer's on the screen. When they heard this, what happened? Come on, everybody, tell me what happened. They were cut to the heart. What cut them? The sword of the Spirit cut them. Are you catching this? It was the sword of the Spirit that cut them. Mm-mm-mm. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. Most of you know this. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper. Somebody say sharper. It's not as sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's stuff going in, there's stuff going on in your heart that needs to be cut out. Amen. How many ever come to church and I don't know what's going on in your life, but I act like I do know what's going on in your life? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about.
Man, I don't know. Pastor was looking right at me when he said that.
And I ain't even looking at you. He's like, I ain't looking at you. You feel the conviction. Why? What's going on? You are getting chopped up. And it's all that. You know what? How many know, man, we're just jive talk a lot sometimes. You know what I mean? I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with. And then you come in, and the Holy Spirit says, "Let me show you some stuff. Let me show you some ugly stuff." Amen. Has anybody been in a room where there's a baby? Has anybody got a revelation of? You're having a conversation. You're having a conversation, and all of a sudden, there's something that comes to you, and you're like, "Oh my goodness, somebody needs to change that baby's diaper." Come on, it's like, "Oh my goodness," that's what happens at church sometimes. I hope, amen. Somebody needs to change my diaper. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because there's junk in your heart. Right? And God loves you so much, He'll forgive you for anything. But He loves you enough to not let you stay where you're at. Amen. And look what those people do. For the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, a discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It goes in and cuts out what needs to be cut out. I had one lady one time, I was talking about finance. How many, when you tell people they are responsible to give, they get all upset with you sometimes? Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. And I was preaching, and I had this one lady, and she was upset. You know what? Let me just tell you, God talks about finances all the time. God talks about our responsibility to fund the kingdom of God. God help pastors who never bring it up. You know what? That's like the pastor who is in the nursery and never will change the diapers. Listen, I don't come with condemnation, but I tell you what. Good choice is good life. Bad choice is bad life. In the end days, the Bible says men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. People are spending more money on themselves than they're spending money they don't even have on themselves nowadays. Amen. And we need to teach, you know what, that building the kingdom of God is our responsibility, and that includes financial responsibility. Anyway, I was preaching something like this, and back then we were over here, we didn't have a lot of people, and I would come out this side door because I wanted to greet people. And so I'd come out the side door, I came out that side door, and she came walking, you know like a kind of like the dinosaur walk, you know what the dinosaur walk is? she was doing one of those dinosaur walks, and I was like, "Hey." And she said, "Pastor, don't talk to me right now. I don't even want to talk to you." I'm like, "Well, not to be rude, I don't think I feel like talking to you right now either, to be honest with you." But I didn't say that to her, but I thought that, but I didn't say that to her. But I said, but then she went on. She said, "You know what? Talk to me next week." She said, "You say stuff and it gets me so mad." Next week she came up to me and said, "Okay. Yeah, you were right about everything you said." But I get that. I understand what happens as God has started to cut your heart and you want to defend, let me teach you something today. Stop resisting God. Don't defend his corrections. The Bible says if we'll receive his corrections, that it will, it at first it's hard, but after there's this peace that comes. So, let's make this clear. Jesus made it clear. John 10:10, Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If God's giving you a correction, it's not because he only knows the best for your life. Stop resisting. Just give up, you know what? And recognize there's a good life for us. But that good life is going to take us to be obedient to what God is speaking to us. And so these people are hearing and they stop. They stop him in the middle of his sermon and say, what do we got to do? What must we do to be saved? Right before that, they're cut to the heart with what's going on. There's another place where the Bible says they were cut to the heart. It was when Stephen is doing the same thing. I could show it to you, but I don't have time because I want to show you something else. But Stephen is doing the same thing. He's prophetically and he's quoting Old Testament scripture. Matter of fact, Stephen goes through this whole history of the Old Testament, but in that history, he's quoting the word. And the Bible says they were cut to the heart. But they didn't decide to repent. You know what they decided to do? They decided to take him outside out of the city and stone him. A cutting to the heart, you have a choice to either say, yep, God's right. And let me just tell you, God is right about everything that he is saying about you. He's right, but he has no malice. He's not trying to jack you up. He's trying to unjack you as he speaks to you and says, you got to get rid of this in your life. Is somebody learning something today? Next week, somebody say next week. If you come, I'll give you something for free.
Pastor, are you trying to get us to come next week?
Yes, I am. But I'm not only trying to get you to come next week, I'm trying to empower you to, next week I'm going to give you cards. And these cards are promise cards. They have the word, they have the scripture on them. So all you have to do is take one of those cards. And people mock these cards. Why mock them? I think they're smart. I think whoever came up with them is a genius. And you take the card, and you can take the card, and you can take it with you, put it in your purse or put it in your wallet or put it in your smock if you're working. And then throughout the day, look at the card and look at the card and look at the card and look at the card. And at some point in time, you'll look at the card so much, something will happen, and that card will come out of your mouth. Are you understand what I'm saying? See, this isn't rocket science. It's God's armor, and he wants the sword of the Spirit coming out of your mouth because the power is in his words. But his words got to come out of your mouth. Say, his words, my mouth. All right, I'm almost done. I'll try that again. I'm almost done. Is that the best you got? I'm almost done. All right, I'll stay. When Jesus is confronted with Satan, here's what he says. It is written, it is written, it is written. And he's quoting the Old Testament. What's my point? My point is Jesus uses the Word of God, uses his example of taking Old Testament scriptures, I believe, because how many know if Jesus said anything, it'd be the Word of God. It's Jesus. That's an easy one. It's a softball. How many know if Jesus said anything, it's the Word of God? That's right. He is God. But Jesus chooses, I believe, to quote the Old Testament scriptures to show you how to do it. And that's what he does. And I don't have time, but I could show. But every, It's in Luke chapter 4. You read it, and Satan thinks he's going to come to him and show him this and show him this and lead him there. And he just, everything that Jesus, watch, I'll give you an example. He's fasted for 40 days. The Bible says he got a little hungry. How many think you'd be hungry after 40 days? Okay, so he got a little hungry. And then Satan shows him, says, you know what, why don't you, there's some stones. Why don't you make those bread? Because you could do it. How many know, when Satan tells us something, we need to just say, I don't care what it is. The answer is no. Right? And that's what, and he says, watch this. But the thing is bread. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Now watch this. You got to stay with me. Look at your neighbor, say, Pastor's going deeper now. So the word of God is important, but how many know you go to the doctor? You know, you don't go to the dentist. You go to the dentist. You're like, oh, my tooth hurts so much over here. It hurts so much over here. The dentist didn't go, oh, open up. And then it's on the left side, and he goes to the right side. You're like, how are you living on this side? Imagine he says, well, really, a tooth is a tooth. You came in to pull a tooth, I'm going to pull a tooth. How many be like, you are a crazy dentist. I'm out of here. My point is, when you go to the doctor, he gives you a certain, you know, he doesn't, you know, can you imagine a doctor? You go in the doctor's office and you got a certain issue and he just opens up the medical book or he closes his eyes, turns around three times, opens up the book and goes that. And then he goes, oh, that's what I'm going to give you. Boom, boom, boom. You'd be like, what are you doing? How many know you go and you want the answer to the certain question? Like you need to say, Pastor's going deeper. You need to catch this. Satan comes with the bread temptation, and Jesus doesn't say, by his stripes I'm healed. He doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. How many know where I'm going with this? There's got to be, you've got to start to, and listen, and that's why it's so important that you come every Sunday and Wednesday. Say Sunday and Wednesday. Say, Pastor, we don't go to church on Sunday. Pastor, say we don't go to church on Sunday. We go Sunday and Wednesday. It's important that you come Sunday and Wednesday and really listen every day except Saturday. That you would start to learn the Word of God. We're going to have Academy of Righteousness soon. We're going to have Academy of Righteousness soon. And what am I going to do? I'm going to open myself up, and other pastors are going to open up themselves, and we'll hear the Word of God. Then we'll go to In-N-Out, eat a double-double. Then we'll come back, and we'll open up the Word again. And we'll spend Sunday afternoon together. In a discipleship, intense training that I can teach you deeper the things of God. So, Pastor, like then I got to come back? No, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can go home and watch I Love Lucy for 3 hours. You know what? But can I tell you what? Vitamita Vegemin isn't going to help. Look it up on the internet, okay? You know, Satan comes at you, you're like, Vitamina Vegemin! No, that's not the Word of God coming out of your mouth. That doesn't help. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Word of God's got to come out of your mouth. Quickly, four examples, and then I'll stop. Man, can I talk to men for a minute? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says when you lust after a woman, you commit adultery in your heart. Some of the issues with your relationship with your wife is she doesn't want to be intimate with you because she feels like you're intimate with anyone walking down the street if the dress is short enough or the blouse is low enough. And God says, let me tell you what that is. That's adultery in your heart. And if you'd get rid of that, man, You know what? You're like, I don't know what. Can I? We don't have any kids around, do we? Okay, good.
Look, man, I don't know why. You know what? My wife doesn't, you know what? She should give me better sex.
Well, maybe connect the dots, Jackson. Maybe if you connect the dots. I'm sorry, can we get real? Did you come to get help or did you just come to... So maybe that's the issue. And even if it's that, even if that's not the issue, man, don't you want to be clean, men? Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to not let a short dress dictate where you look and where you don't look? I've been bound and I've been free. Free's better. Free's better. Pastor, what do I do? Here's what you do. You get the word in your mouth, and when Satan comes to you, you gotta chop him up. Pastor, what scriptures would be good? Well, there's many. How about this one? Because Satan will come to you and say, you know what? You don't, just because you look at the menu, dude, that don't mean you gotta order. You're an idiot. Because I find men that keep on looking at the menu, they are going to order. And according to God, looking at the menu is ordering. So, Pastor, what do I do? Well, how about this verse? You probably all know this verse. A little leaven. Come on, somebody help me finish this. A little leaven, what? Leaven's the whole loaf. See, you already got it. So he comes, that ain't no big deal. No, Mr. Satan. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. You might get that over on my friend over there and my buddy over there, but that ain't coming in this. No. Right? Here, what about this one? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. You know this. Can a man take fire in his bosom? How many know the rest of this one? And not be burned? You know where that comes? That comes in context. It comes directly talking about the seductive woman. And he David's asking, can you take that in and not be? Then he says this. These are easy scriptures to remember because they're so word, they're so picture oriented. Can you step on hot coals and your feet not be burned? What's going to happen? You're looking and all of a sudden you're going to think, oh my goodness, I'm going to get burned on this. I can't. I know. Oh. And all of a sudden, what happened? That word chopped you up a little bit in a good way. Does that make sense? What about this one? What about this one? One last one. You know this one. Do you know what the Bible says? The lamp of the eye, the lamp of the body is? I just told you the answer. Do you know what the Bible says the lamp of the body is? It's your eye. And you know what? If the eye is bad, it just floods in to every part of your body. Next thing you know, you'll have parts of your body not doing what you vowed never to do. And you're doing it. Why? Because you let that in your eye. All that is, do you see how precise that is to specific situation that you're going through? Men say, thank you, Pastor. Men say, thank you, Pastor. Say it three times. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. See's Candy. It's just down Whittier Boulevard. Okay, just joking. Number two. What about fear? Do we live in a time of fear? Or do we not, you know what? And I'm convinced, don't get mad at me. I'm convinced that there are some people who are just talking fear so much to try to control us. I fully believe that. If there's anybody who needs to not walk in fear, it's us. You ought to read Psalm 91, prophetically, God spoke to Tamara. This is about two and a half years ago, and God spoke to this congregation and said, way before we even knew what COVID was, started to speak to this congregation and said, you need to start to read Psalms 91 on a constant basis. Well, how about this? You know what? Psalms 91 verse 7 says this, that it shall not come nigh me, though a thousand might fall to my one hand and 10,000 fall to my other hand, it shall not come nigh me. Now, some of you are like, ooh, you shouldn't say that. Listen, that's exactly what you should say. That's exactly what you should say. That's exactly what we should say. What about unforgiveness? Has anybody been hurt? Has anybody had somebody who hurt them? I mean, it hurt. Just you feel like not only stabbed you in the back, but they twisted the knife in. Anybody. Pastor, what do you do? What do you do when you're trying to walk in that forgiveness? Because you know God said, I need to walk in that forgiveness. But it's just so hard. Well, one thing you do is stop saying it's so hard. I said, one thing you do is stop saying it's so hard. One thing you do is stop saying it's so hard. Amen. You start to control the narrative in your life. Oh, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Oh, this is so good. Hope doesn't disappoint. Do you know why hope doesn't disappoint? Because the Bible says that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, it's hard for me. No. Say this. Say the love of God has been poured in my heart. My heart is filled with the love of God. Say my heart is filled with the love of God. Get this word picture. The love of God has been poured out in your... If the love of God is poured out in your heart, you could be like Stephen. You know what one of the things, last things Stephen said? One of the last things he said, might have been even the last thing he said. He said, Father, he said the same thing Jesus said. Man, that sword came out of his mouth. And he said this. He said, you know what? Father, forgive them. These people who are doing this, forgive them. Watch this. Who was holding his coat? The coats. Saul was holding those coats. You think that didn't tear him up? Oh, here's a great one. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. How about that one? What about that? Last one, struggling with temptation. We talked about the men and lust, but what about any temptation? You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13? That there's no sin that has been given you that God will allow it, but with that temptation. How many are tempted in some ways? Raise your hand if you're tempted in some ways. If your hand's not up, you're sleeping. Wake up. How many is tempted in some ways? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've been tempted in some ways. Raise your hand if you've been tempted in some ways. Some ways. Raise your hand if you've been tempted in some ways. Okay, watch this. But God says to you who are tempted that with that temptation, he will give you a way of escape. So you're like, man, it's so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard. It's so hard if you're not looking. Does this make sense? No, God's got a way of escape. Pastor, what do I got to do? I've got to start speaking. The word of God comes out of my mouth. You know what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What happens when you get a doctor's report? Some of you get a doctor's report, you're like, oh man, the doctor said. And you're calling all your neighbors. The doctor said, I got this. The doctor said, listen, if a doctor, I mean, no, God has a report. I mean, no, God has a report. No, what am I going to say? I'm going to say what God says. The word of God's got to come out of my mouth. That's when it's the sword of the Spirit. Somebody learned something today? Somebody learned something today? Somebody learned something today? Next week, I'm going to have the promise cards for you. All you got to do is come. Okay? And what I want you to do, I want you to start taking those cards. I want you to start taking those cards every day. And I'm going to get a promise and a promise and a promise and a promise. You know what? And Satan's going to come. Somebody's going to come to you and he's going to tempt you. And what are you going to do? You're going to say, that's not a knife. This is a knife. Amen? Amen? No. Next week. All right. Come and learn something today. Okay. If you don't have a church, if you don't have a pastor, you know, we live in a crazy world. Christians have got a lot of crazy thoughts. Well, I just float in here, I float in there. I don't really have a church. You just need a church. God's called you. You need to have accountability. You need to have a church family. Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ. Will you consider what I said today? Jesus wants you to in his family. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? Just ask him. You ask him. Say, God, come in my heart. He'll change your life forever. If you do that, I believe God will come into your heart, but I can't do that for you. You have to do that. I can do this. It will be my pleasure to be your pastor. Cameron, I want to be your pastor. Start coming every Sunday and every Wednesday. Watch what will happen in your life. God will change your life forever. Now, last but not least, if something was said, if you need to repent for something, if you need to draw close to something, if vitamin and vegemin is the only thing comes out of your mouth, or, you know, Mary had a little lamb, or some other craziness, but you know that the word of God's not coming out of your mouth. Remember one time, we were apartment managers, and there was a lady, a dear friend of ours, and she was having some, I don't know what it was, seizures or something, and they pounded on my door, and I went up. She was on the third floor. I went up, and I came in, and she was having seizures, and I was a Christian. I should have known better, but I freaked out, and I was thinking, you know what I kept on thinking? When are the paramedics going to get here? And after that happened, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Drew, that's not what should have happened. Years later, our son was sleeping, and I heard the baby monitor. Thank God Tamara turned on the baby monitors. And I picked up my son, and he was blue. And I knew exactly what to do. I thought to myself, here's what I need to do. I need a prayer of agreement. The Bible says, if any will touch anything on this earth, it will be done for them. And I needed someone to come in prayer and agreement. And I ran next door to the Christian that I knew. Well, she wasn't a believer. She was a believing believer. Do you understand the difference? You're like, she wasn't a churchgoer. She was somebody who knew the word and believed the word of God. And I was holding my son. And so all I could do is just pound on the door with my feet. And she opened the door. And before we called the paramedics, first thing out of my mouth wasn't, call 911. That wasn't the first thing out of my mouth. The first thing out of my mouth is, May, will you come in agreement with me? And we prayed over my son. And by the time we got to the hospital, it was like nothing ever happened. Tyler was like, oh, I'm hungry, Dad. Can you make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? If you know that the word isn't where it needs to be in your heart, see, if it's not in your heart, it won't be out of your mouth. Whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. You say, yeah, but somebody's going to know. Somebody knows already. It's God. And that's the only thing that matters. The people around you doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. You know, get over yourself. Did you come to church or did you come to change? Well, if you came to change, if that's you, if it's not, that's okay. But if it's you, the word was for you today. Raise up your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to come in agreement with you. Father, we're here. Say, I need to change today. If your hand is up, say, I need to change today. God, help me to take these promise cards. Say it. God, help me to take these promise cards. and not just put them in my pocket, but put them in my heart. Help me to learn the word of God, that it would be what comes out of my mouth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.